Deliver us from the evil one. How many times have you prayed those words? How many times assembled as the children of God in worship? How many times since you were taught the Lord's Prayer from your youth? How many times in those moments of trial have you turned to God and prayed, deliver me from the evil one? How many times have those words been uttered by others in times of trial, temptation, loss, and persecution? How many times has this prayer been offered, but the desired deliverance failed to come? March 2, 2008, Muslim radicals kill 3 Christians and wound dozens. Among those wounded, a police officer and a Christian whose hands were cut off. Deliver us from evil? February 14, 2008, Valentine's Day. America receives another wake-up call as a dozen people are wounded and 6 are killed at Northern Illinois University. Deliver us from evil? February 7, 2008. A horrific shooting at the city hall in a St. Louis suburb of Kirkwood has left 6 people dead. A gunman burst into a city council meeting after shooting 2 policemen. He would then shoot 5 more people. Deliver us from evil? I could take the easy road at this moment. I could take the easy road and tell you that the 7th petition of the Lord's Prayer focuses towards Jesus' second coming, and that it refers to that final deliverance of sin, death, and the devil. And in many ways, I would not be wrong. But to be honest, it wouldn't answer the questions that I have when I pray, deliver us from evil. For you see, when I pray those words, deliver us from evil, I'm looking for a different kind of deliverance. I'm looking for a deliverance that is a little more immediate. I'm looking for a deliverance that is now. I'm looking for a deliverance from an evil that doesn't exist simply in a systematics textbook or as a metaphor in the mind of a theologian, but my evil has a face. My evil has a name. My evil is real, and it is alive. How about you? Have you caught a glimpse of the evil one in your life? Have you looked in the rearview mirror as you're driving down the road, as you journey down this existence, only to see yourself being pursued by the devil himself? Have you stood in the desert of temptation, fighting against all of those things that would pull you away from Jesus, that would destroy your faith, fighting against your own internal sinful temptations, waging a war against sin, death, and the devil himself? Have you ever been locked away behind closed doors, not knowing where to turn, facing a darkness that you can't seem to run fast enough to get away from, and crying out to God, deliver me from evil? You see, Jesus knew that you needed deliverance from the evil one. He was an expert in these matters. And not only did he teach us to pray in the 7th petition of the Lord's Prayer that we might be delivered from evil, but he even prayed on our behalf. We hear him in the high priestly prayer as he prays to his Father, I do not ask that you take them out of this world, Jesus says, but that you keep them from the evil one. I don't know about you, but I need deliverance from the devil himself. For in my life, Scripture is true. He does prowl around like a roaring lion looking to devour the children of God. He does attempt to pull us away. He does throw in our path all of those things that would create temptation in our life, that would cause us and entice us to turn away from God. And from my reading of the Confessions, it would appear that Luther agrees. Listen to Luther's words concerning the last petition of the Lord's Prayer as it is found in the Large Catechism. This petition seems to be speaking of the devil, Luther says, as the sum of all evil, in order that the entire substance of our prayer, that is the Lord's Prayer, may be directed against our arch enemy. For it is he, the devil, who obstructs everything of which we ask in this prayer. God's name, our honor, God's kingdom and will, our daily bread, and a good and cheerful conscience. For because the devil is not only a liar, but a murderer as well, he incessantly seeks our life and vents his anger by causing accidents and injuries. He crushes some and he drives others to insanity. He drowns some in water and many he hounds to suicide or other dreadful catastrophe. Therefore, Luther says, there is nothing for us to do on earth but to pray, and to pray without ceasing against our arch enemy. For God, if he did not support us, we would not be safe from the devil for one single hour. If God did not support us, we would not be safe from the devil one single hour. Maybe I've been looking in the wrong place for the assurance that God answers prayer. Maybe I've been looking in the wrong place to see that God delivers us from the evil one. For if Luther is correct, if God were not defending us, we could not stand against the devil even by the end of this service or by the end of the day. So maybe we're looking in the wrong place to find God answering our prayer. And maybe, just maybe, he does listen to the seventh petition of the Lord's Prayer. By reading Luther, I think to myself, maybe instead of focusing on the individual moments of tragedy in my life and asking why, I should instead focus on all of the other moments of my life and ask, why not? When evil occurs around me, but I emerge unscathed, why not me? When death and tragedy occur to others, but it is averted in my life, why not me? Why not now? When I hear the words of absolution, when I hear that regardless of the sin in this world and in my life, Jesus Christ has forgiven me and I will not suffer the punishment of hell, when I reflect on my life, I have to ask the question, why not me? And these are questions, my friends. These are questions that can be answered, no theodicy needed. For in the end, the real problem is not reconciling evil, it's recognizing grace. Good Friday, carpenter's son, killed on a cross, his dead body laid in a borrowed tomb, his family and followers mourn. Deliver us from evil? He did. He does. He will. Amen.